Hello and welcome back to the Evan M Show. I'm here with Sage. If he's there, are you still there?
Oh yeah, I'm still there, bro.
Man, it feels like it's been forever.
It's probably because it's been about 9 months.
It has not been 9 months. Has it really been 9 months?
Do I have to check this mug? One sec. It's been, yeah, and it was an entire NBA season. How about that?
I was so wrapped up in the season and playoffs that I couldn't. Well, I was on your I was on the Holy Backboard podcast, so that's not true.
Yeah, but it's been 8 months. Sorry.
And Big John LaCrofka of the Portland Trailblazers, he was last guest, correct?
Absolutely, yep.
That podcast was so hot. I was like, this will carry for 8 months. We don't even need to do another one. Like, this is the content we had, and it was so insane. But anyways, it's good to hear your voice, man. So we're recording this on Tuesday night, the Tuesday after Memorial Day weekend. How was your Memorial Day weekend? Did you do anything fun?
No, I was really just chilling. My mom cooked up a big dinner on Memorial Day, but you know, it was really I was playing NBA 2K. It was Double XP weekend. I had to you know, get busy on that. Shout out to Michael Gonzalez, who played with me for like, I think, 8 hours this weekend, and that dude has kids.
Michael Gonzalez, who a friend of the pod, I played disc golf with on Saturday for 7 hours.
Nah, he was hearing me bitch and moan for a good portion of that weekend.
He's a great dude, and I know he's going to listen to this episode because he's a great guy.
He listens to every single Holy Backboard, every single Evan M Show. He's a beast when it comes to just listening to the content that we provide.
I know, and I was jealous because I saw pictures on... So this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, the one thing I wanted to do, I didn't get to do really. Like, did you get to have any like crazy barbecue or anything like that?
Nah, not really.
I know. The closest thing I had... So I had a busy weekend of... I've been working on a painting, and I partied a little bit because that's what the weekends are for. The closest thing I got to a barbecue, though, I went to... There's a Safeway up the street from my house, and they set up this tent outside where they're cooking ribs to sell inside Safeway. And I went up there and like befriended the dude who was doing it. He gave me a few samples, and it was kind of weird because like I didn't get invited to a barbecue, or I didn't really go to one. And I was just out there eating this dude's rib. It's just me and him. Nice hot day. And we were just talking. I think I made a new friend.
It was a bonding experience for you. I mean,
it was.
You were living your best life, man.
I wanted to like pull up a chair and just hang out. Like at one point I was eating rib. I'm like, this is really nice. But like in my head, like imagining he and I being friends. And then there was like an awkward beat. And he's like, yeah, I mean, yeah, the ribs are really, really good. I totally agree. And then I was like, all right, man, I'm going to get up out of here. Like, I think I just made this kind of weird. So I was like, I'm definitely going to buy some ribs, though, because they're really good. And then I went inside and I came out and I parked by that tent. He's like, you get those ribs? And I was like, nah, man, I actually didn't get them. I actually did not do that. I was like, tomorrow, though.
I forgot how much of a great storyteller you were, man. It's you and Slick Rick, bro.
There was something else that's crazy that happened this weekend that I actually bet some friends with and won some free lunches and drinks. I, on Saturday night, got drinks with Tim Duncan.
I sort of don't believe you.
What I mean by that is, I went to the bar, and I was talking to this dude named Tim, and at the bar, for some reason, they had the movie Office Space up on the big screen, and it was the part where the Michael Bolton character talks about how it sucks that he shares the name with Michael Bolton, the singer. And this dude's like, I get the same thing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he broke out his license, and his name is Timothy Duncan. And I was like, no shit. And he's like, yeah, I get it all the time. He's like, I go by TJ. And I'm like, yeah, but Tim Duncan's, at least he's dope. And he's like, yeah, I guess. So I made a few bets with him. He let me take a picture of his ID, which was really shady. I'm like, you do not want me to have a picture of your ID. Are you serious? Like, I'll have your address, your license number. But he didn't care.
Who the fuck do you meet on a daily occurrence, man?
Bro, some of the weirdest fucks you've ever seen in your life. And it's like I track them.
You definitely got that. You got the magnet for weirdos, man.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those situations where it takes one to know one, I'm fairly certain.
Well, I mean, you whenever you go on TV, you do scare elderly white men. So I get it.
Yeah, that guy was a fuck. I forgot his name, but no shout out to that guy on KGW. No. Anyways, so for this week, this the return episode of the Evan M. Show.
Season 2.
This is like Serial, except for only 10 people are going to listen to this.
No, that's not true at all. Shout out to the people who listen. It's in the hundreds.
Oh my god. It's a lot of pressure. But for this return episode, we have a very special guest, Neela Madison. Neela, are you there?
I'm here. Hi, boys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, Neela, I met on Twitter. I think a lot of people in Blazer Twitterland have probably crossed paths with some of Neela's tweets because she's absolutely hilarious. She's Portland native, and she tweets a lot about basketball, especially the Blazers. Your handle name is Yusuf Nurkic's girlfriend. I feel like it's a dangerous icebreaker for the creeps of Twitter to hit you up. I feel like the number one thing you get asked 8 times a day is, are you really Yusuf Nurkic's girlfriend?
You know what? You just got to own the persona. I didn't choose the girlfriend life, the Bosnian beast girlfriend life. It chose me, you know? And I just rolled with it. Be like,
what? That's beautiful. How often do you seriously get asked if you're his girlfriend?
You know, during the season, it was quite often, but now that we're in the off season, things have slowed down. The DMs haven't been as popping, but you'll be happy to know that I don't show you guys anything that isn't interesting or creepy. So
yeah, I know. So, Ian, you've posted some great ones. Like, it's fantastic. And you and I have talked about this. We're like, it's so weird how some dudes feel like they can hide behind their social media persona, which I guess they can, right? Like, they're not going to meet you per se, but like my whole thing is, like, when does this shit ever work for dudes? Where it's like, how'd you meet your wife? Oh, I hit her up on Twitter and said she had a nice butt, and now we're married. Like, I feel like that doesn't happen.
Hey, shoot or shoot, and you never know, I guess. I guess that's their mentality. And to them, you know, they're cooler on the internet. So, I mean, I definitely am cooler on the internet. I'm definitely not cool offline.
Oh, come on. I doubt that. I doubt that to be true.
Are you Sage? Are you Ev?
I am. I am much cooler offline. Thank you.
I think I'm cooler on pod than anything else.
No. In real life, I have the same confidence that El Farouk Aminu does shooting a three. Whether he breaks it or goes in, I have that confidence. I stink of it.
I got the ego of Boogie Cousins shooting a three. It's just, I know it's going in. But I definitely think you were the rookie of the year when it came to Blazers Twitter. You definitely were killing it with the tweets, the dope content, the witty tweets.
Well, in my opinion, I had more of a Myers Leonard. I just want to be humble, God fearing. Daughter of the Lord. That's it. And just me and my two puppies and my beautiful wife. That's goals right there.
That's beautiful. So you hail from the Bay Area. You're from Portland. So go ahead and tell everyone listening kind of your story, because you're a Blazer fan in the Bay.
Yes, I am a Blazer fan in the Bay. Shouts out Bay Area Blazer fans. I moved here with my mom after elementary school and have been here ever since, though I feel a strong connection to Portland, and my Rip City community on Twitter fulfills that deep, dark hole where Blazer fans' physiologically most important muscle used to be. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and what has it been like living in a city? I mean, this happens in cities all across America when a sport team all of a sudden becomes good, and the Warriors over the past few years have become obviously one of the best, more popular teams we've had in sports. But you've been there, you've been living there long before they were really good. So what has it been like to live in the Bay with how good that they've become?
The NBA is so disproportionate that it makes me want to stab myself in the eye with the needle at the end of a ball pump. Because if you look back at the last 5 years of the NBA championships, you know, there's only four teams. It makes me sick. But anyways, let me bring it down a notch. watching the evolution is, it's disheartening on one level, being a diehard who was born a Trailblazer fan, who was born premature, breached, but ultimately a Trailblazer fan. But it's like, it's these people who are in tech and have their own companies who don't know what to do with their money and don't know where to invest it that had these courtside seats. And I don't know. It kind of pushes the Warriors diehards aside, which I kind of feel for, you know?
Oh, for sure. And like, the interesting thing with the Warriors, like, I understand the hate. Like, they annoy the shit out of me. They do. I mean, I love to watch them lose, even though they don't do it that often. But it's interesting, before the Kevin Durant signing,
it is kind of tough to hate on them because they're homegrown, right? They drafted Steph, they drafted Clay, they drafted Draymond. They brought in Steve Kerr after Mark Jackson, the weird situation that happened with Mark Jackson. They brought in Steve Kerr, and like they built that from the ground up, which I respect a lot. It's not like a situation in Miami where LeBron and Chris Bosh went and met up with Dwayne Wade, or even in Boston when KG and Ray Allen went to Boston with Paul Pierce. Like, I respect that they kind of built that themselves, but then the Kevin Durant signing was just brutal. Like, absolutely brutal.
Brutal. Kevin Durant is a snake, and he ruined the NBA for at least 2 years. I'm just going to put that out there in the world.
It's just so frustrating because the Warriors didn't need him on the team, I'm a huge Russell Westbrook fan, and I like the Thunder, and it's so frustrating to think that the Thunder had a 3-1 lead in the Western Conference Finals last year. They should have beat the Warriors, and instead of being like, I'm going to run it back one more year with Russ and Cantor and Steven Adams and all those guys, I'm just going to go join the Warriors. Like, it's so pathetic. Like, I hate it.
Hate sellouts. And it's like, if you were going to switch teams, why not come to us? We need you. We would want you. But no, I found out you were a snake. So now, bye. I don't even know you. I don't know you, Kevin Durant.
Hey, I mean, in his defense, Olshay was busy signing dudes that we really needed, like re-upping Myers Leonard and signing Evan Turner and matching Alan Crabb's contract, which is totally perplexing. But yeah, so let's get into the Blazers season for a second. So after the season had a lot of ups and downs, obviously ending with us being swept in the first round of the playoffs, which for the big portion of the season, we didn't even think we were going to make the playoffs. What were some of your highlights and lowlights of the season as you look back at looking at the 82?
Oh my God. Don't even get me started. This last season was the most trailblazery season, I think, in recent history, because I don't even remember the first half of the season. Do you?
I don't think the players do.
I don't think. Okay, somebody tell me if they remember what happened the first half of the season, because what I remember is 2017 and how it has been weird as hell so far. In January, approximately 75% of Rip City, with me at the forefront, mind you, we fought borderline alcoholism because that month was so terrible.
Mm-hmm.
In February, we acquired my boyfriend, although unbeknownst to him, which renewed a hope in, you know, our heartless souls and soulless selves, which was then high. So we went from low to high there. And then in March, the Blazers had one of the most winningest records in the entire association. And then finally, we come to game 4 of the first round matchup against the Dubs, and Trailblazers season ended again, in the most trailblazery way possible, in a blowout loss at home, where Rip City's leader and hero, the point god, Dame Dalla, played his little heart out, bless his soul.
I got a very interesting perspective on the Blazers season, because every week I would talk about that week of games, so it was broken up into little chunks. I remember the first part of the year, the optimism was so high. We came in, we were a second round team, the continuity. We lost a few games, but you know what? Continuity, Evan Turner, you know, he plays 10 minutes, but he might mess everything up. I think the lowest point for me was around Thanksgiving, because Kevin Love broke the record for most points in a quarter. And yeah, so what they would do is a little pick and pop. Kevin Love would roll to the 3-point line like he's known to do. And Mason Plumlee, or whomever was guarding him, screw it, let's sag. Let's let Kevin Love go absolutely bananas apeshit on us. That was the game, and it was like November 20th, I think. That was the game where I thought, we aren't that good, let's tank, actually get a good draft picked. So it was a roller coaster of emotions, and I think trading Mason Plumlee for Nurk was the thing that rejuvenized the Blazers hopeful. But man, there was a lot of shitty moments that led up to that.
Yeah, see, I have like a different perspective than both of that. And I've said this like on the Holy Backboard podcast all year. I think in 2016, that season, we were projected to have like 28 wins. We were supposed to be like a bottom three or four team in the NBA. Mm-hmm. We played out of, I think everyone would agree that we played well over the expectations that were there and probably over where, even at a maximum level, like we won 48 wins that year. We had home court in the first round and it was a down year for the West. It really was. Coming into last season, I didn't expect it to start off that bad, but I thought that we played above our level the year before. We didn't really do anything in free agency. I think Olshay was naive to think that he could bring in big name free agents, because when he first came in, he cleared the way for this last offseason. Like, this is the offseason we're going to get someone. I think he was naive to think he could do it. Dwight Howard wouldn't even meet with us. You had Hassan Whiteside in Miami claim that we were a second choice. He didn't even meet with us. Chandler Parsons, booty ass, did meet with us and chose Memphis over Portland, which thank God he did that, because his year was injury plagued and he did not play well. I mean, the big name we signed was Evan Turner, knowing that he was going to come off the bench. And then I think Olshay kind of panicked and he's like, I'm just going to re-up all our guys. Which he did. I mean, the Myers Leonard signing, I believe the justification for that was he had value a couple years ago. I'm going to sign him to this contract. We'll showcase his talent this season and then we'll trade him at the deadline. And then Myers came out and just took a giant shit on the court every time he came out. And now he has no value at all. None.
I know for a fact that a team that I happen to also root for wanted to trade for Myers Leonard and was willing to give up some stuff in the beginning of the year. Now there's absolutely no way that they were going to trade anything of value for him. Not even a second round pick.
I just read somewhere that if we wanted to trade him on draft day to get rid of Myers Leonard, we would have to give another team one of our first round picks.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He only one? I would think we'd have to give up both.
Oh.
He has no value. And the thing that pisses me off is that they give him shit for the money. Nah, he's whack, but that is the overpay. The overpay of the offseason was, without a doubt, Alan Crabb, because he was 20% of our salary. He is 20% of the cap for his entire contract. He is 20% of what we got.
I don't have a problem with Alan Crabb signing. I have a problem with Evan Turner and Alan Crabb signing.
Fair enough. That is a good point.
Mm-hmm. Just don't do both of them. When you watch these games, they cannot be on the floor at the same time, and they shouldn't be. And they're getting paid almost the same. And for the long stretch of the season, you've got two dudes that just got these huge deals that are both coming off the bench. Like it blew my mind that he redid that. The Mo Harkless signing is very justifiable.
Absolutely, he would have gotten that anywhere.
Mm-hmm. But now. And now it's brutal because we're coming into this offseason and like you're seeing names like a guy like Paul Millsap who's going to opt out, and it's like dope, but we can't afford to pay him. Absolutely, and we can't afford not to pay anyone anything.
But who's the dopest free agent that the Blazers have ever signed? Rod Strickland in the 90s?
Did we sign or did we trade for Scottie? Did we sign?
I've been a fan of the Pelicans for so much longer than the Blazers. I don't know these things.
Or Brian Grant, I think we signed in free agency, which people point to back in the day.
But he's like a hustle dude, right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, and he's not like a big name. Again, Neil Shea, and I was naive to think that he could do it too. This is going to be the guy who's going to convince free agents to come to Portland. Like, free agents do not want to come and play in Portland. You have to draft them or you have to trade for them for players, and that's it. So, and by the way, the low light of the season for me, and this hit me hard, was Myers Leonard's French braid man bun. And this is why it was a low light. My sister posted a picture on Facebook during that of my nephew, who's like 11, who had a French braid man bun. And I literally almost threw my iPad out the window. I was so pissed. And
he's such a
I tweeted I tweeted it at Myers. I'm like, look at what Myers did to, like, what a fool, like, trashing him. And he, like, retweeted it. And I'm like, you don't even know I'm making fun of you right now?
Oh.
I know. It was brutal.
On the bright side, guys, we Blazer fans can't be feeling nearly as bad as Tiger Woods right now.
Oh, God.
He was allegedly not drunk at all in his DUI arrest, but, you know, mugshots never die, so.
It is shots so, out that's, to Tiger Woods. That story is so bizarre. Like, nothing in his, yeah, no alcohol, but, like, obviously he's got a pill problem, which is sad. But that is, that was a creepy, like, I was reading about it before we hopped on, and, like, he was telling the officers that he was coming back from an event in L.A., like, a golfing event in L.A., and they're like, dude, you're in Florida. Like, what are you talking about? And, like, I guess they kept asking him to, what, they asked him to, like, say the alphabet, like, look up at a certain spot and say the alphabet. And he was saying back to them, I can't say, well, not the Star Spangled Banner, but something in reverse.
Yeah.
The national, he's like, yeah, I can't say the national anthem in reverse. And then they're like, dog, we're not asking you to do that. Like, what are you talking about?
Yo, if you could do that, that's talent.
That would be insane. The national anthem backwards. No, he did not have a good day today.
But you've never been lost before and just want to be found?
Yeah, behind the wheel of a car that's on and in.
In Florida?
In Florida. Like, that's where crazy shit happens. Like, shit happens in Florida. Like, the whole thing with his ex-wife happened there.
He wanted to be found.
He did. And he, I mean, he was. Yeah, shout out to Tiger.
And he was.
Wait, did you guys see the ESPN photoshopped his mugshot?
What do you
go
mean?
Go look it up. They put, like, so his hair, he looks haggard in the mugshot. Go Google ESPN's, like, just Google ESPN Tiger Woods mugshot. They photoshopped his hair to make it look normal. It's really weird.
Oh.
No, maybe. I mean, yeah, obviously they don't want to shit on Tiger Woods.
I mean, he's
so bizarre.
He made them some money back in the early days, so I guess they were doing him a solid. I don't.
Yeah, for sure.
When ESPN still had sports.
Yeah, when they still had reporters.
They cut so many talented people out of the. They cut so many talented people, man. It was insane.
Let me know if you agree with this. ESPN is like the new MTV. When MTV used to have music, ESPN used to have sports.
Absolutely.
Oh, for sure. For sure. And it's, yeah, I mean, it's their own fault. It's so weird that they cut all that talent and then they're like, yeah, this is a salary dumping thing. It's like, no, you guys spent way too much money on rights to all these sports.
Yeah, like the NFL and shit like that.
NBA, everything. Yeah, the MLB contract's insane. Like, it's all insane. And that's what's happening. And I work in advertising, so, like, I know the big thing that kills them is their subscriber base. People are cutting the cord at a pretty big rate. And half of their revenue comes from places like Comcast or Dish paying them $8 to $9 per subscriber. And with people cutting the cord, like 10% of people are cutting the cord, it's really hitting them hard. So.
Well, now they're trying to hire internet personalities to be their news sources.
Neela, update that resume. Update that resume. They could use you because you're doing stuff on something called The Relish Online, which is really cool. You should tell people about that.
Yeah, so if there's any female sports fans or anybody who cares about female sports fans out there, The Relish is a San Francisco startup media and news platform for sports. And in my opinion, it's a niche that has been needed to be filled for so long. And I'm so, so proud to be a part of it in some small ways. So check out The Relish Sports on all social platforms and subscribe to our newsletter if you want to.
No, yeah, you guys do like a great weekly, like 1 to 2 minute clip that kind of sums up stuff in a really, really funny and topical way, which I love. Like, it's sports, but not just the, you know, play-by-play stuff. It's really fun. I encourage everyone to check it out.
We try to hit all angles. You know, there's lifestyle, there's personal stuff about athletes. So it's all around a lot of fun.
you guys ragged on Tom Brady recently, so I was all on board with that. I was like, all right, this is dope. Anytime someone can rag on Tom Brady, I'm all for that.
You're welcome.
I know. Thank you. So with the finals approaching, let's do predictions for all three of us. Neela, go ahead and start. We're taping this on a Tuesday. It'll probably, do you think it'll be out on
Wednesday?
Tomorrow, Sage?
Yeah,
Wednesday, the day before the finals. It looks like for the most part, everyone's healthy-ish. I know Zaza's been battling something, but I think he's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So Neela, what is your prediction? And is it going to be a biased one with your hatred for Golden State?
Ooh, you know me. You know me, Evan. You know, I think everyone can agree that the finals this year is going to be an ass clincher, whether we like it or not.
Kratos thinks so. Yep, Kratos got a hot take. Hot take alert.
Kratos, you feel me?
Oh, he does.
So I hope you guys have your popcorn ready. It's just a question of who wants it more. Is it LeBron for a best 2 out of 3, basically, of the last 3 championships? Or the Dubs, who have their backs up against the wall and they have a reputation to fix? I don't know the answer to that, to be honest.
But you gotta make a prediction. You have to. We gotta get it on tape.
I understand. I'm gonna say, and I'm gonna, you know, put it out there that I am 100% biased.
Mm-hmm.
That LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers are going to take it this year. Again.
Again. How many games?
I'm going to go the full. They're going to take the full. They're going to milk it. And take it all the way.
The NBA needs it. Because the playoffs have been fucking terrible.
I could give a less of a fuck about any of those games. Once the Blazers got eliminated, I could give less than a fuck. I watched
I watched all of it.
Did you really?
Well, I work on paintings and I have it on the back.
Fair enough.
Like,
because yeah. You know me, I think I watched 200 games this year.
Mm-hmm.
I was playing Mass Effect or watching old episodes of Archer during the Western Conference and Eastern Conference Finals because it was going to be whack juice. So the NBA needs this to be a long series, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I'm going with the Warriors because I think the collection of talent just meshes so well together. And, you know what, I'm going Warriors in 6.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so I've mentioned this before in podcasts where, like, 3 weeks into the season after watching all the NBA and watching the Warriors, even though I know the opening night they got their ass kicked by the Spurs, but just watching them the first 3 weeks, I made bets early on the season with a couple of homies, like $40 bets or whatever. I was just like, there's no way a healthy Warriors team is going to lose in a 7-game series. Like, I just don't see that happening. I still don't. I think that the Warriors are going to try as hard as they can to not have a game 6 in Cleveland. Because it is 2-2-1-1-1 to win it. They don't want to play a game 6 in Cleveland, obviously. So I'm going to predict the Warriors in 5. And I do not want the Warriors to win. I've made these bets with people and my homies, and I've told them I am not going to be rooting for the Warriors. I could give a fuck about 40 or 80 bucks or whatever. Like, I want Cleveland to win so bad. But, like, I told them I'm just making a smart investment here. Because I think it is.
I don't know how many teams that can beat them if they're not jogging. Like, they've lost games because they were jogging this year. That team is so fucking talented.
We forget that, like, I know it's a stupid excuse and people hate hearing it, but, like, if Draymond doesn't get suspended for that game last year, I mean, they might win. Cleveland had to come back historically down 3-1 from down 3-1, and then the Warriors like, all right, cool, we'll just add, like, a top 3 NBA player to our team and call
it good. Yeah, it was like the 92 Bulls getting Charles Barkley.
Because I've been saying all year, the only way that you can beat the Warriors in a game, you've got between the three of Steph, Klay, and KD, you need 2 of those 3 guys to have a bad game. And over a 7-game series, I just don't think it's possible for them to... for 4 times in 4 games for 2 of those guys to have a bad game. Because Kevin Durant has been lights out in the playoffs. Klay has actually been struggling a little bit, and then Steph has been fine. But Draymond has been huge for them. Draymond's always going to give you like what he gives you, the anchor in the middle, the hustle plays. He's going to get everyone hyped. He might kick a nut or two. Maybe. I mean, he's kind of toned it down. Was it last year in the finals where that's how he got suspended, right? Was the LeBron shot. Yeah, that'd be nice. I don't know. Go for it, Neela.
I don't know. If 2016 American Professional Sports Championship games have taught us anything, it's to never underestimate the underdog.
Oh, I want Cleveland to win so bad. Like, I do. I do. Like, I thought the storyline of LeBron going back to Cleveland and winning for them was, like, the dopest thing ever. Like, when he went to Miami, I was so hurt. Like, I'm a big sports fan where, like, I like storylines. Mm-hmm. I was so hurt when he went to Miami. I was like, why are you doing this? And I hated him for a little while. And then when he came back to Cleveland, it was complete 180. And I was like, I'm rooting for them so hard.
You can't hate him anymore. That's for damn sure.
People sure as hell try.
And now that you read, like, he played up the whole villain thing. Like, people around him are like, he's not really like this. When he went to Miami, like, he played up the whole villain thing. But then he goes back to Cleveland. Like, you pretty quickly see, like, yeah, he doesn't want to be hated. And it's cool what he did for that city. And a lot of those guys on the team, I think it's cool. Like, my boy Channing Frye, even though...
Really your boy, or just a fan of him?
No, I one time was 86 from his charity kickball tournament because I drank a whole bottle of Captain Morgan's and blacked out.
We gotta have...
Have I told you about this?
No, we have to have a podcast full of drunk stories. I feel like needed.
I'll do this one quickly. Channing Frye, when he played for the Blazers, his now wife, beautiful woman, Lauren, used to work at the front desk at the ad agency I worked at. One summer, it was his first inaugural summer of his charity kickball tournament in Portland. And they allowed our company to have a team. And big mistake. Because we went out there, and they're like, yeah, you guys can bring booze. And, like, people brought beer, and I'm like, nah, I'm going to hit this real heavy. So we went to the liquor store, and I bought a bottle of booze. By, like, the second game, I'm pitching and can barely stand up. I am, like, blackout drunk. It is real bad.
Is there any film of this?
There was a picture of me shirtless sitting at a table, and Channing Frye is petting me like I'm a dog.
And oh, I'm not, I don't know damn, that should be your fuck. That should be your biopic.
I don't know where that picture is, dude. Because it's one of the most embarrassing days of my life. Because, no, so I wake up from my blackout. And then, and this is, literally for years after this, if you ever wanted to humble me or shut me up, you'd bring up, like, people I used to work with would bring up the story. I tried to get into a fist fight with my boss in front of everyone. Like, belligerently in his face, trying to fight him. And I'm not a violent person. I've never been in a fight before in my life. And I was all up in his shit. And then I completely come out of my blackout. And we go to a bar after that. And people from my work were like, get away from me. Don't talk. Like, do you know what you just did? Don't talk to me. I didn't end up getting fired, which is incredible. I was put on probation at work. And me and that dude are cool. Like, I felt bad because he's not a bad guy. I just was wiling out, man. Oh, my God. It was bad. And yeah, there is a picture somewhere of Channing Frye petting me like a dog. And I changed the game forever, literally, because I wasn't invited back next year. And they had a rule where you were not allowed to bring hard liquor to the event.
And that was a true Irish American.
Yeah, that was all me, baby.
Woo!
Yeah. But Channing is a good guy, really good guy. Kratos agrees.
Kratos said yeah. Kratos is saying you made the McCarthy name proud.
You're damn right I did. Yeah, I didn't get fired for it, but then there were layoffs like a year later, and they laid off like a percentage of every department, and I think it was kind of a no-brainer where they were like, why don't we lay off the guy who tried to start a fight with you? And he was like, yeah, that's actually probably a good idea.
Oh, I thought you were going to say, and they didn't.
No, and they did. Oh, they absolutely did. Well-deserved, if you ask me. Well-deserved layoff. I still like people, like half the people that still work there, like under their breath would be like, dude, that was the most badass thing I've ever seen in my life. Like, they were dapping me up. I remember the Monday coming back from that tournament, my boss emailed me. So that was on a Saturday. On Sunday, I got an email saying, set up a meeting. We got to talk. on Monday, I go in and I'm like, let's just get this over with 8:30. And he was like, nah, 4 o'clock. And I'm like, you're going to fucking make me sit here all day. And like, people are joking with her, like, all right, man, it's nice knowing you, man. Like, start cleaning out your desk. But he was totally cool. He like, we talked it out. He let me air it out. And then, yeah, he's like, I'm not going to fire you. And I was like, holy shit. He actually invited me to Blazer, like, he had season tickets. He invited me to Blazer games after the fact. He'd be like, hey, someone bailed. Do you want to go? Like, we were cool. Jesus. We were cool.
It's just the luck of the Irish.
I know. No, it's the luck of the white boy. My God.
Yeah, I had a lot of anger issues. It must be nice working to be there.
White. I know. Yeah. God yeah, no damn right.
No kidding.
Now we can gang up on you, Evan.
That's fine, man. For literally years, if like people would bring that up, it's like the most embarrassing moment of my life. Like, it is real bad.
I just keep saying that. Sure, Evan.
But now I find it hilarious.
Do you have any embarrassing stories you want to share on a podcast that will go public tomorrow?
Yeah, you ever try to beat the shit out of a boss?
These are my deepest, darkest secrets, and they will not be recorded on a pod. But talk to me at the end of June when I come visit you all.
Oh, yeah. So, Neil, you're coming up to Portland. Anyone in the Portland area, you're coming up here. But you still don't know where you're going to go. You're just going to be here.
No, there's too many options. I'm figuring it out now. But, yes, Portland, Rip City, I want to meet you. I want you to meet all of you. So come to Brews with Blazer Brews is what we're calling it. June 23rd, that is a Friday evening at around 8 or 9 p.m. And we don't know where yet. The location is to be determined, but follow me on Twitter at Neela Madison for updates. And so you know where to go. So hope to meet you.
Isn't that the draft day?
No, the draft day is the 22nd.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I probably should know that.
We'll have some fresh stuff to talk about.
So on that Friday, we'll either be drinking away our sorrows together or, you know, celebrating. So we'll see.
Yeah.
Do you have any preference on what we do for the draft?
Ooh, for the draft. Yeah. I don't know about what do you guys have any traditions?
No, not really. No.
Well, we didn't have a draft pick last year, so that was boring.
The god of shit. What's his white ass name?
We did not draft anyone last year.
No, we did. We got a guy from Maryland.
Jake Lehman. Oh, he had one decent game in garbage time, and people were like writing hot take articles like, should Jake Lehman get some starting minutes? And it's like, what the fuck?
I guess it's bad when I don't know a draft. Like, if I don't know who you are, you might be whack juice. I had no idea who the fuck Jake Lehman was. I, like, hit up Dustin the second it happened. I was like, who the fuck is this dude?
Dustin's actually someone who would know Jake Lehman. Gordon Hayward 2.0. That'd be nice.
Oh, the guy that's going to be Gordon Hayward 2.0 is Tatum from Duke.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. I don't watch college basketball that much, so like...
I know. Yet you won our draft, our March Madness tourney for some odd reason.
Yeah, Neela, the Holy Backboard had like a March Madness tournament, and I was like, I was going to donate Evan gear to the winner, and I had no idea. I was informed that I won. I was like, wait, so I get to fucking send stuff to myself? That's dope.
I get to send dope-ass clothing to myself?
I know.
And you got to save on postage.
It's funny because I asked Dustin, I'm like, should we just give it to second place? He's like, fuck that. Keep it. I'm like, all right, fuck, I'll keep it. I got no problems with that. I'm generous. So, like, Neela, you talk to Tara from up here, and Sage does often.
That's the team mom right there. Of course we
know. Shout out mom!
She's the best.
I've donated stuff to her women's watch party before. And nice. She's bought a t-shirt, so God bless her. I love her.
She really is one of the best broadcasters for, like, Blazers stuff. She just has she's so enthusiastic about the team. It's something I honestly wish I could ever have about any team I rooted for. I'm just so jealous of her.
So speaking of Tara, aka Team Mom, she is she started an off-season book club, and we're reading Loose Balls, and I have it right here, by Terry Pluto. And it's the short wild life of the American Basketball Association. So if you want to learn about the origins of the ABA, which you should because it's full of interesting stories, check it out. And we're going to be talking about this very soon. Join in on the discussion. Yeah, I didn't tell you guys, but Evan?
Yep.
I'm literally wearing 6 of your designs right now.
Oh, fuck yeah. And I sent you some fire. And I feel bad. I need to send you, I have one of my shirts, it's the Rip City shirt that takes after the Golden State Warriors logo. That'd be, I don't know, I spaced it, why I didn't send you one. You being in the Bay.
That would be dope.
Oh yeah, I've sent a ton down to people buying them in the Bay, like a ton. So I,
Gotta rock that in these SF streets to let them know where my loyalty is.
You're in San Francisco, not Oakland, right?
Yeah, I'm in San Francisco, but the Warriors aren't here. They're in Oakland. Why?
Not yet. Well, they're moving.
But, okay, going back to being homegrown, excuse me, why do you not have any pride for the town? You claim the city when you're in the town. Excuse me? No.
I think it's whack. I think it's way whack. That they, yeah. That and like, people from Oakland are bummed, rightfully so, because they're building the new arena in San Francisco now.
Everybody leaves them. The Raiders left. The Warriors are going to leave soon. Next thing you know, the A's are going to be going to San Diego or something.
Yeah, no kidding. That's a bummer. It's a bummer. Like, there's every few years, they'll be like, because of there's so much need for hot sports takes in every market nationally, like, every few years, we get the story of, oh my God, will Paul Allen move the Blazers, or do the Blazers need to worry about being moved? And it's like, no, the NBA will never let the Blazers be moved, ever, ever, ever. No. After the debacle of the Sonics moving to Oklahoma City, after the dude said he wouldn't move them, and then he did, like, there's just no, and Portland's like a top 5 fan base, like, for real. So there's like no way that Portland's, I don't fear that at all. All right. Well,
But I feel like we would be doing ourselves a disservice without talking about what you have been doing with your fashion brands. I think we got to give the people what they want, and what they want is information. Yeah, they want the info, man.
Absolutely. Thank you for reminding me. I mean, that's the whole point of this podcast, is another way for me to sell some shit.
Goddamn right.
Yeah, so some of the listeners may know I've been doing Portland-based stuff for the past couple of years. Still have it up. It's taken a backseat to... I've been focusing more on my artwork, which has been doing really well. Sage just bought a piece from you. An Anthony Davis piece that's really dope that I'm still holding on to. Yeah. Just finished up a Back to the Future piece, which is really cool. So I'm working on that. If this comes out tomorrow, Wednesday, May 31st, there's 31 days in May, right? Tomorrow the 31st? Yeah, there is. Okay. So if you listen to it, if you could do me a huge favor, go to Willamette Week's website, type in Willamette Week Best of Portland. Evan M., which is my artist name, is nominated for Best Visual Artist. There's 5 of us in the category. All the other artists are super dope, but I really want to win this. I won last year and I bought like a really expensive wrestling belt. I don't know if you know this, Neil. Like, it's super dope. And people thought that Willamette Week did it for me. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? They sent me a sticker, which they haven't even sent to me yet. They keep saying they're going to send me a sticker. No, I bought a wrestling belt because I always wanted one. And I want to win again this year because I will buy a brand new belt. So I'll be like a boxer. You know, they always have like 8 belts when they come out. So go and vote for me for that. So I've been doing that. And then I'm also starting a new clothing line called Misguided. It's a little bit darker. It's a little bit more street. So it's still in the works. The website's up. This Saturday, if you're in Portland, one of the bands that's one of my brand endorsers, is playing a big show in Portland. It's called, Battle of the Bands. The winner gets to play on Warped Tour this year, which is really cool. So I designed shirts for them. We're going to release them that night at Hawthorne Theater, Saturday night, June 3rd. I will be there. I made a really cool Snapchat geo filter, so you'll be seeing a lot of that. And then, yeah, just doing a lot of that stuff. So hit me up if you want to learn more about that, or custom artwork. I'm always doing commission work. I got to feed my pug, and he eats a lot of carrots. So I'm always looking for more jobs to do. And yeah, that's basically it.
Support your local artists, people.
What was that, Neela?
Support your local artists, people. I have 2 beanies on and 5 shirts.
How hot is it down? Well, San Francisco doesn't get too crazy.
Excuse me. Memorial Day weekend marks the beginning of winter for San Franciscans. I don't know how much you
there
know.
There you go. Summer. I do not.
Any plugs you want to say?
No, I think we're good.
No, follow you on Twitter. Come on, follow you on Twitter.
I already said that earlier, remember?
Did you give the handle?
Yeah,
we talked about use of
narcissism. I said Neela Madison.
At Neela Madison. Check out The Relish. Go follow them on all their social media platforms. It's really cool.
We said all of this.
But you got to remind them. Repetition. You got to repeat this stuff. And then Sage. Yeah, go.
So I have a business called Sage Digital. It is a podcast network. And I'm developing some cool shit. So happy that we are back doing the Evan M podcast. Got the Holy Backboard. We're doing a bunch of stuff for the draft. I got a podcast in the works called Our Journey, which is a podcast about the immigrant experience. I'm interviewing my aunt who just lays it all out there, tells me what it took from my family to leave China to Boston. It's a real dope listen. It's taking me a long time, but it's super dope. And Evan M is designing all of my logos for all of my stuff, so he is just the baddest of bad motherfuckers.
Oh, man. You're going to make Kratos tear up over here. So aww. Proud of his dad. It reminds me. I gotta finish that logo. Got it.
Hey, I mean, yo, but yeah. So check out all of my stuff, Sage Digital. Follow my Twitter. I think it's Sage_digital. But yeah, a lot of new content will be out in the summer, and I hope we can make this a weekly thing. I mean, I missed it. We had 6 or 7 dope episodes. Every time we did a show, it was an influencer at the top of their craft, and we got another one for this show, and I'm just so happy to be doing this with you.
I appreciate that.
Aww.
I do. We do need to start doing it more. I know. I got to get on the horn. Saad Chowdhury wants to come back on, which would be really cool.
He's a bad motherfucker. He's been doing stuff with the podcast. I mean, everyone we've had, top of their game, and we've had like amazing conversations with them, like whether it was talking about models getting really high and eating chicken wings, or we talked about the whole cap situation, like the day after it all happened. It's a lot of dope conversations.
All right, well, yeah. So go ahead, recommend the podcast to a friend, Evan M. Show. Find me at Evan M. PDX on both Twitter and Instagram. I think I have a Snapchat, but I only use it to look at like chicks I used to date and all the stupid shit that they post. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't really post.
If you fuck with the show, check us out on SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play. We're on all of the major podcast platforms. And no sponsor this week. If you fuck with us, 5-star us, leave a good review. That helps people find us again. And, you know, it's been 8 months since we've done a show, so we definitely need some help getting some listens. So fuck with the kids. Fuck with your boys.